Ladies and gentlemen of the City Council,
the 1980 budget estimates the actual costs of running the city's government and for providing a full range of city services in the coming year. It also begins...
The support of these leaders of the professional community means a great deal to me in this campaign, and it will mean a great deal to me in the conduct of the office.
Liven up your speeches and spruce up your image. That's what strategist Shirley told Jane Byrne and Rich Daley back in 1980. Byrne was just settling into the mayor's office and tried a new hairstyle and wardrobe. Daley, running for Cook County State's Attorney, worked on his oratory. Northwestern University professor Tom Farrell, a nationally known political speech expert, recalls that Daley still had some ground to cover in November 1980 when he gave a well-rehearsed answer to the question, "Will you run for mayor?"
Someone gave him a possible answer that went, "I have no intentions, etc., etc." And since they didn't finish the sentence, neither did Richie.
I have no intentions.
You will rule it out flatly?
I have
right
no
now.
Intentions.
Well, intentions.
Yes. Wow. I have no intentions. How's that one?
The job Daley had no intentions of running for was the job that was bringing Jane Byrne one crisis after another. Byrne rambled on about those problems at her frequent news conferences, giving reporters plenty of background material, but often confusing the public.
When he called Joe D. last Saturday, he was in my kitchen in front of Jay and me. "I'm going to finish this, Harry. As long as I'm here, I'm going to finish this." And Andy asked him, "Well, what did you think of the reporting?"
There's a sense of somebody being frazzled a little bit.
That his wife was upset on her birthday. Once again,
thin, deep structure here is, "God, I'm on my wits' end trying to deal with these people." No, mayors aren't supposed to do that. They're not supposed to talk like that.
The pundits and cartoonists show Rich Daley as a bumbler, but listening to Daley field a touchy question back in 1980, Tom Farrell thinks that's a bum rap.
The way he handles it is somebody who has evident discomfort. I think he sounds sincere, however, and I think that is one of his real character strengths as a candidate.
He's using it for political reasons. I guess right to undermine my personal integrity, my family's personal integrity.
Consultants added a little polish to that sincerity to get Rich Daley 1982 style.
Candidates can make commercials that try to do in 4 months what they have failed to do in nearly 4 years. They can hope.
Well, he certainly has a new rhetoric. It's embellished with all of the proper political embellishments. And he sounds very, very confident in the discourse. One would think he's on a roll. One would think all he has to do is ride a tide to the mayor position.
"I have decided to be a candidate for mayor of Chicago."
Consultants have also taught a lot to Jane Byrne in the past 2 years. For one thing, they've put distance between the old Jane and the new Jane.
"I'm here in this office because this is where the vital work of the past 3 years has been done, where the tough decisions have been made, and where personally I have learned, and I hope grown."
The issue of leadership is one that Jane Byrne might be able to effectively diffuse by pointing to the crisis she inherited, how bad the situation was when she first encountered it, everything she's tried to do to turn it around. If she can do that without remaining frazzled, she might be on pretty firm ground.
Farrell's consulting services are not for sale, but he does have some free advice for Mayor Byrne.
Drop the insider stance with respect to reporters and everyone else. Simply see her conversations as being carried on from her directly to the homes of people in Chicago. Ignore the intermediary.
And here's Farrell's 2 cents worth for the Daley strategists.
Everybody had fallings in and fallings out with Richie Daley Sr., but nobody thought less of him on the basis of his speaking style. Character, I think, is a much bigger issue than image is, than intellectual prowess is. I mean, look at who's president of the United States. No Rhodes Scholar.
Perhaps that's proof that the candidate doesn't have to be a Rhodes Scholar, as long as his or her consultant is. I'm Marge Halperin.
Is everybody ready?
No.
No.
No, two's not ready.
Okay. You're going to the airport?
Yeah, in the back of the bus.
You guys better hurry up to catch Brady and Griffin going down to Dan and Ryan.
Wait a minute.
Tell me
could you move back?
I could, but I'm into a microphone.
That's my favorite committee right now.
So everybody.
Yes, go ahead.
Wait a minute. Slow down.
Is that by design you're wearing the same shirt?
Who's ready? Are you all ready?
All ready. Go.
Where's five?
Go ahead.
Don't worry about it.
Fran, just wait 1 second. I don't have to repeat this. I'm sure
they can.
They'll do it separate.
Wait a minute. Are we waiting for five?
We're already. We're not waiting for you.
I'm sorry. There's one more station. Give me a
break. I'll read it for you.
Four out of five.
It's going to take 3 minutes. Okay. So my best friends are Channel 5, and I wanted to give them a chance.
I'm sorry there.
They've endorsed your phone.
You ready?
Yes, go. No, I think I
lost my camera. That's all right.
Go ahead.
Okay. As you may remember, Bill Griffin and Mike Brady once quit the mayor's administration, saying that they had lost confidence in her. It now appears that we know the reason why they have regained their confidence. In response to the serious questions raised about Continental Air Transport in Mike Royko's column, Alderman Bloom, Davis, Vellini, Orr, and I are today calling upon the City Council Finance Committee to immediately begin hearings concerning this matter, since it is no longer clear who the actual owners of Continental Air Transport are. Last December 27, the City Council voted to give Continental an exclusive 15-year franchise until 1997 to operate bus service to the airport. The award was made without any competitive bidding and continued the sweetheart arrangement enjoyed by Continental. All five of us voted against the contract for those reasons. Now it appears that William Griffin and Mike Brady, influential members of the Byrne administration, were involved in that deal with the help of Charlie Swibel. None of the facts revealed in today's press account were made known to the Finance Committee before the vote was taken. But full public disclosure has never been a trademark of this administration. It is therefore urgent that a complete investigation of this matter be undertaken to determine if there was a corrupt influence in the awarding of this contract. Because the press reports indicate that activities occurred in different states, we are also calling upon U.S. Attorney Dan Webb to conduct his own thorough investigation to determine if any federal, criminal, or civil laws were violated. Because two of the people involved, Mike Brady and Bill Griffin, are on the boards of the CTA and the RTA, respectively, agencies which are in direct competition with Continental Air Transport, we are calling on them to immediately resign their positions. That Brady and Griffin were even involved in negotiating for an ownership position in Continental was a direct conflict of interest on their part, and they have forfeited their right to serve in the public interest. Under ordinances governing the award of contracts, the people of Chicago are entitled to full and complete disclosure of entities doing business with the city. Only through thorough hearings before the Finance Committee can we uncover the details of this sordid affair. If the facts warrant, the City Council should have the opportunity to undo the awarding of this franchise. And finally, the mayor's response to the press accounts is nothing short of outrageous. Mr. Griffin, Mr. Brady, and Mr. Swibel are in fact her administration. They are her closest advisors. And despite all protests to the contrary, those are the facts. They operate on her behalf with her approval. What did she know and when did she know it? She should not be allowed to brush off these serious charges. Either she has naively turned over her administration to these people, carte blanche, in return for their political support, or she knows full well of their sordid dealings. The mayor can't have it both ways. The mayor cannot cover up the continuing taint of scandal in her administration without her, Mr. Brady, Mr. Griffin, and Mr. Swibel coming forward and giving a full airing of the facts.
Marty, Mayor Byrne says today that Mr. Griffin and Mr. Brady never had any interest in this company, and therefore it's a non-story. Are you saying that you don't believe that they don't have an interest in this company?
I think the reports of the newspaper make it very unclear as to who has an interest in this company. The City Council Finance Committee was told that only Mr. Maher remained with having an interest in one of his partners. But it's clear that as recently as 6 months before we voted on the contract, Griffin and Brady were negotiating to buy the company. I think this raises very serious questions given their positions. The reports of Mr. Swibel telling Checker they had to sell out, those facts were not made known to the Finance Committee, and I think we have a right to pursue this to find out just where it leads. Do they have rights?
They be silent partners, is that it?
I want to find out if they have some hidden interest in it or if they have rights to purchase interest in it in the future. We simply don't know, and the charges are serious enough that we have to look into it.
Well, Mayor Pro Tem says at the time of these negotiations that Griffin and Brady were not on the public payroll at all, that this was during the time that they had left her administration.
Well, that's not true at all, because these negotiations took place in 1981 and 1982, and all during that time they have served on the RTA board and the CTA board. It's common knowledge in Chicago that Brady and Griffin are the closest advisors to the mayor. They walk in and out of the mayor's office at will. Mr. Swibel during that time was the head of the CHA, is still on the library board. Despite her claim last week that he's not a fundraiser, he is the chief fundraiser for her administration. I think the mayor can't get away with those simple kinds of denials.
Marty, this 15-year deal will take them past the World's Fair, which is quite a lucrative thing. Do you think that's an important key to this?
Well, I think that's part of it. Continental, however, has always had a long-term arrangement with the city. It's always been without competitive bidding. It's always been a sweetheart arrangement. The Byrne administration promised us we were going to put an end to that sort of dealing when she was running for mayor 4 years ago. And this is not atypical of the kind of deals we've seen since she's been in office.
Mayor Byrne says nobody speaks for her.
Michael himself mentions in his column that there is no record at this time of any involvement by Mr. Griffin or Mr. Brady in that company.
At this time, the only thing that we have, Bob, are the disclosure statements filed with the City Council, which have to be filed for every contract, and they do not show Brady and Griffin as owners. But I might point out that we were never told that they were negotiating for an ownership interest the entire time that this matter was on defer and publish, which was over a year, from October 81 until December 27 of 1982. I think there are serious questions raised. Did they, in fact, get some kind of a right to buy into this company? These are serious charges. This isn't just anyone who was negotiating for an ownership interest who didn't get it. These are the top people in this administration.
To quote basically what Jane Byrne said 4 years ago, somebody greased the skids. And it doesn't matter whether they were in the administration or with the RTA or the CHA or the CTA. Somebody greased the skids. It's exactly the kind of issue that 4 years ago Jane Byrne went to the people to say this will stop. It's continuing with greater intensity in the Jane Byrne administration.
Okay. The interesting point about that is that when Byrne made her wild charges about the Blandick administration and the taxi scandal, she demanded that the mayor take a lie detector test. She just didn't sit back and say it was okay for denials. We think the City Council Finance Committee ought to have hearings and get to the bottom
Marty,
of it.
Marty, you have endorsed Richard Daley for mayor. Isn't anything you say of this nature 6 days before the election extremely suspect? Aren't you merchandising a Mike Royko column?
Well, Bill, let me tell you something. There are five aldermen joining in this statement. We are supporting different candidates for mayor. One of us, I think, has not made an endorsement at all. We have a job to do as members of the City Council to protect our constituents' interest and the public interest in this city. You can't stop running the governmental business just because there's an election at hand. The disclosure just came out last night. I think we have an obligation to respond to it and respond to it quickly and let the chips fall where they may.
Marty,
if in fact there is a scandal here, it's all that much more important for the people of Chicago to know about it before they choose who the next mayor of Chicago is going to be.
Marty, Mayor Byrne said today that Mr. Swivel does not speak for her. No one speaks for her. If he made such a threat, it wasn't for her. And she just has nothing to do with him, and that his role has been totally overblown.
Well, she put him in at the library board. She's made him her chief fundraisers. She can't have it both ways. She can't say that she doesn't know what he's doing and yet at the same time have him be the chief fundraiser for her administration. Either she doesn't know what's going on in her administration and she is not competent to administer this city, or She knows full well what's going on. She's trying to cover it up. That's the only two possibilities.
And the fact of the matter is that the entire spring session of the last legislature was devoted to Mayor Byrne's effort to protect Chuckie Swibell in his exit from the CHA. So she's perfectly tied in with him.
It's also a very fair question. It's also a very fair question to ask because it's only a few days before the election. But if you remember, this same group of aldermen has been before you many times. Last May, we were here to try and demand that the administration cancel the $98,000 contract to Griffin and Brady. We've been here many times before, the most recent one demanding that they cancel the contract, the $35,000 contract, to a former employee of theirs to improve the image of the health department. So yes, it's unfortunate so close to the election, but we have been consistently demanding that the administration, and particularly Brady and Griffin, that these contracts be opened up, the ones that are clearly political and not assisting the citizens of Chicago at all, be immediately terminated. We're not the ones that put the story in the Sun-Times yesterday, but as Alderman Overman said, we do have an obligation. It's unfair that so many things are being swept under the rug prior to this election. The public has a very important decision to make, and I think that decision is influenced by who are the influence peddlers around the administration.
Let me point out one other thing in response to that point. In 1977 and 78, when I was one of the leaders demanding an investigation of the taxi scandal raised by Jane Byrne, which, as you may remember, resulted in an investigating committee being created by the City Council. You didn't hear the Jane Byrne at that time thinking the charges were political. She was perfectly happy to have the scandal aired. Now that it's come back to roost at the feet of her administration, the public has the same right to know the full facts surrounding the charge.
When the council finally voted, who were identified as the owners?
So far as I know, Mr. Maher and one other of his partners. I went to the Finance Committee office yesterday to find the actual disclosure statements, and they weren't on file there. But I know that Brady and Griffin were not identified, and there was not even a hint that they had been involved with trying to negotiate. I believe it was 33-7. You have to check the journal.
Is Judith joining you in this?
I'm sorry to keep you waiting, and obviously I'm sorry about the weather. It just goes to show you that Murphy's Law plays a role in every campaign, and even in this one, which is well organized. I'm standing here with Mr. Rudy Lozano, who is a candidate for alderman in the 22nd Ward, and Mr. Juan Velasquez, who is a candidate for alderman in the 25th Ward, and we're making this statement jointly. This clinic, in front of which we now stand, provides services, although reduced, to the people of Pilsen, but only after a long struggle was had to keep it alive. This is one of several clinics opened during the early 70s to provide needed health services for children and adults. These services have been fought for by the working people of this area. The need for such clinics is greater than ever before, as unemployment, Medicaid cuts, and the lack of insurance force more people into public health care systems. Yet, in the face of budget cuts at the state and national level, in the face of the need for frugality and a comprehensive plan, the Byrne response has been less than adequate. Byrne has repeated an all-too-familiar platter of feeding political allies at the expense of Chicago's people. For example, Byrne did not fight the federal or state budget cuts. Instead, in January 1982, Mayor Byrne cut the staff of this clinic and other clinics by 50%, letting patients know they should expect an end of adult services by the middle of the year. Byrne initiated a fee schedule despite the increasing unemployment in the city and the rising number of people unable to pay for health services. At the same time, Byrne increased the commissioner's staff by 7%, or $200,000. She also budgeted $700,000 to collect the new required fees. She created a bureaucracy discouraging patients from using public health clinics despite the increases needed. In spite of her huge budget allocation to collect fees, less than $400,000 was collected. In this election year, under great community pressure, some staff was reduced to the clinics. My program and the program of Juan Velasquez and of Rudy Lozano is this, that upon taking office, we will initiate the coordination of all public health facilities in the city, state, county, and federal, while we develop a unified health care plan for the city. Upon taking office, I will cut the fat from the Department of Health bureaucracy and allocate the funds to needed services. Central to these plans will be a streamlined city budget geared to city services and city needs. Immediately, I will undertake the organization of a preventative medicine program in the neighborhoods consisting of educational and screening components. Finally, I will be sure that health professionals that are involved in the department are not part-time and are not conducting practices on the side, but are full-time dedicated health professionals who know of and believe in the public health system. That ends the statement, and the three of us, Mr. Velazquez and Mr. Lozano and I, will now entertain questions.
Are there part-timers in the health department?
There are, yes. I don't have the exact figure, far too many. They're on the professional level. And it seems to me that if the city is going to have the kind of health delivery service it needs full-time employees, particularly in the sensitive areas of doctors who just have to be on call. I'm not opposed to doctors making money, but if they go into public service, one, we have to pay them adequately, and two, they must be available for the kind of things that we need.
Do you know the percentage?
One thing
do you have any
also
kind of ballpark?
I want to point out, I think it's very important, that the congressman's program, as well as Juan Velazquez in mind, is going to increase the number of bilingual professionals in the city service programs, especially in the health field. We know one of the biggest problems we have and most of the clinics throughout our wards is that we don't have adequate representation of the workforce. We represent 17% of the population, yet we have less than 4% of the city jobs. We need to increase that number, especially in those areas where we have high numbers, high density populations of Hispanics.
Absolutely. Would you subscribe to that also?
I would. And also, you know, I think that one of the immediate things, I mean, if the city was sensitive to the needs of its population, it would make, you know, the clinic available to people in the evening and on weekends. And I think that's important.
Do you have any estimate of how many part-timers, a percentage or something to put it into perspective?
We can get you that figure. I regret not having it, but we can get it to you before the day is out.
You say, Congressman, the staff has been cut by the Burr administration. How about this facility? Is it operating on short staff? What can you tell us about
this facility, like others, is threatened through the imbalance of the budget in 83, although it on paper is balanced, and also through a clear imbalance in 1984, in which clearly there will be at least a $74 million shortfall to balance that budget. The pattern of this city has been to cut into human services, and therefore I think it's reasonable to assume that this health facility, like others, will be in serious trouble. And then when you superimpose on that the cut in the federal budget, about 25%, you have a crisis situation in this city. The infant mortality rate, which we've talked about time and time again, is just atrociously high. It's a danger, and it's a signal that we should be very careful about how we budget for this, for these various health delivery services. So this institution or this agency, like others, is in trouble.
How might that $700,000 that the mayor used to set up this fee-collecting bureaucracy, how might that have been used to help the clinics?
Well, in the first place, it was poorly conceived. The fee system itself was bad. But in order to collect money, and you're going to spend that kind of money to collect it when you don't even raise that amount in fees, is just ludicrous. That should have been anticipated. And now, I don't want to lay everything at the doorstep of the mayor, but poor planning is poor planning. It's her program. It failed. It was a financial flop. It served the purpose of not just pushing the city further into debt, but it was also not raising the requisite fees and driving people away from health delivery services. So it was a fiasco.
Harold, I have to get this question in. Yesterday, after the Roosevelt speech, we talked to you, and you indicated, you may have said this before, that you believe this election is being stolen. Also, you added that there's the threat of trouble in the streets if people realize it might be stolen.
What I did say is there's a serious danger that this election could be stolen, not just for the office of mayor, but also in the wards, in the 22nd ward, in the 25th ward, in the 24th ward, in the 16th ward, in the 2nd ward, in the 3rd ward, in the 9th ward, ad infinitum. The pattern in this city is clear, and the press knows it better than I. The Board of Election Commissioners is biased by virtue of Mr. Lavelle taking public positions on issues which are controversial in terms of candidates. There have been any number of untoward incidences. For example, putting Iola McGowan on the ballot and having to be redressed by the appellate court. Two, skewing and violating the law to the point that the mayor got number 10 so that I would not get it. This constant kind of thing. the steady pattern of intimidation which you read about every day, pulling guns on workers for myself and in other camps, threats and violence and intimidation, which has taken on a pattern, leads anyone to believe that there must be some steps taken. We are appealing to the Justice Department. We have discussed this matter with U.S. Attorney Webb, and he has promised us maximum coverage in the protection of the rights of the people. We are obviously depending upon LEAP as a fine organization, which wants good elections. We are appealing to our own forces, which are approximately 6,000 in number now, to really beef up their training so that they can give adequate protection. And lastly, we have a crew of 500 lawyers who will be spread throughout the city and in the 22nd Ward and the 24th Ward, trying to give adequate protection. So the answer to your question is a yes, unfortunately.
But can you travel back the street?
See you later.
Oh, no, we want to avoid that. That's what I'm getting at. We want to avoid that.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Campaign contributors, well, how do you get $9 million if you are ignoring those who put you there? How do you amass that kind of a war chest unless you are responding to the pressures of those particular interest groups and corporate interests that have made it clear that they are responsible for you being there and they will be responsible for you staying there? I think Royko had a column where he estimated that it would take about $1,200 an hour that she was raising to add up to the total amount of money that she's raised. And she's out there borrowing now because she knows that her stuff is shaky. The Health Coalition, which is responsible for this meeting today, is composed of people just like yourselves. You are our constituents. We are physicians, nurses, optometrists, dentists, pharmacists, respiratory and physical therapists, occupational therapists, podiatrists, and every other kind of health professional and person that you can name. We have medical secretaries and so on who have been responsible for putting together and giving input into this critical issue. We formed as a spontaneous group independent of this campaign, and we represent a broad base of support for Mr. Washington's candidacy for mayor. And the candidate with the state and federal levels of experience, years of experience, who can bring this city together and who can address these needs in a studied, comprehensive, and rational kind of a fashion, something we have not heretofore seen. The current healthcare delivery system as administered by Mayor Byrne is a disgrace. She has closed maternal and child welfare stations, even though the city's rate of infant mortality is rising. And it is higher in Chicago in some neighborhoods than it is in some third world countries. At a time when there have been drastic cutbacks at all levels in services, Mayor Byrne has not made an effort to coordinate city and county resources to address these problems. We have examined the track records and the current positions of each of the candidates and have found that the record and positions of the current mayor are inconsistent and fragmented in their approach to comprehensive health care. Mr. Daley's position, needless to say, has been poorly articulated and is virtually incomprehensible in regards to developing the kind of a system that will serve our people. Congressman Washington has shown a keen awareness and an insight into the essential components of an effective health care system. He has gathered people around him not only for this race, but since his tenure in the state legislature, he has been involved in health care issues. He has been involved in presenting legislation which will benefit all the citizens of this city as well as the state. Since his tenure in Congress, he has been involved and has been a major sponsor in presenting legislation aimed at improving health services to the people of this country. He has a national scope. He has developed a health task force for the 1st Congressional District composed of experts in the various fields who have been able to develop input, help to develop legislation, and have researched the issues. We commend him for this foresight. It is the only task force of such a kind in the nation. Congressman Washington has the requisite experience at the federal, state, county, and city levels of government to provide the kinds of services and the kind of leadership that we feel is critical in this day of cutbacks, the kind of leadership which will go to the Conference of Mayors and say, we stand with you, as Mayor Byrne did not, to oppose the federal cutbacks that have affected so many of us. The Health Coalition endorses the candidacy of Congressman Harold Washington for mayor because we are unequivocally convinced that he will meet the challenge of organizing a comprehensive and effective health care delivery system for the citizens of Chicago. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Kevin Weiss, who would like to speak for the House Staff Association of Cook County Hospital.
I come here from County Hospital across the street as part of the medical center. We, over at the county, represent the physicians there, the 450 house staff that run the front of the county hospital. We see about 1 million patients there a year, and we know the health problems that our city sees. And so, a few weeks ago, we invited the candidates to speak. Within a day, we found out that Harold Washington wanted to come and speak to us, and he delivered his health policy for the city of Chicago. I might add, it was a very receptive crowd, and the room was packed, and we liked what we heard. A couple days later, in his footsteps, came Dick Daley and presented his 9-point program. And I might say that finally there is no response from Mayor Byrne. Now, that could probably be represented with a 0-point program. And we suggested that over the time, 4 years, she's shown that she has had no direction to her health program. For we at the county hospital has recognized that Mayor Byrne has closed some of the Board of Health clinics under her time, has developed cash registers, and under her jurisdiction and under her administration, the Board of Health has shown an increase in TB throughout the city, has watched infant mortality increase. This is not good running of the city of Chicago health problems. Mayor Byrne stood by us to keep Polina open. Dr. Henderson mentioned it before. We stood by there, the county employees were there. She was walking and promised us that Polina is open to keep the patients coming to the medical center. Today, we all know Polina is still closed. Dick Daley spoke about 9 points for the health care of Chicago and then answered some questions. The problem is when we spoke to him after he finished his 9 points, he didn't seem to know the health problems of the city. When questioned about the issue of TB, he wasn't even certain that the TB sanitariums were closed, and they've been closed for many years. His response to making payments at the Board of Health for patients, it was good to keep up the morale of the patients that use those Board of Health clinics. With this in mind, there was one candidate that spoke to the problems, who knew the problems. One candidate who could spell them out in 6 points and could stand behind those points because he's dealt with those problems in Washington. He's dealt with them in here. He stood by the county hospital when the county hospital needed his help. I need not name that candidate, though I will. And I'd add to that that the House staff of Cook County, for the first time in its history, yesterday unanimously voted to support Harold Washington.
To introduce to you, to speak to you on health issues for the city of Chicago, the next mayor of Chicago, Harold Washington.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Is this mic working? I'll have to move your tape over here, Brother John. Thank you, Dr. Bush, for a very generous introduction. And I want to thank you for these multiple endorsements. Dr. William Rolla, Westside Medical Center Committee of the Health Coalition for Harold Washington, and also of the Students National Dental Association. I want to thank. Dr. Patricia Bush, of course, Dr. Cynthia Henderson King, minority medical students. Dr. Elsie Allen, Black Physicians Association of Cook County Hospital, Dr. Joe Leon, House Staff Association of Cook County, and last whom you just heard from, Dr. Kevin Wise, House Staff for the Association of Cook County. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this indication of faith that you have in my past performance as a public servant concerned about health delivery, and also for future that you trust that I will be able to deal with adequately in this field. It didn't just occur to me yesterday to become involved in this area. I've been concerned all of my public life in it. I don't know if there's a correlation, but it might be that since I'm the only candidate to run for mayor that I can recall that was born in a county hospital. There may be some subliminal influence operating on me that I'm not aware of. Also, I discovered, just as an aside, that I am the only candidate now who is running who ever attended the public school system, and also, and this is an astounding fact, I'm the only candidate to run for, who will be mayor of this city who has been to the public school system in the last 50 years. And this one will shock you. No mayor of this city in the past 50 years has even sent their children to the public school system. So maybe there are some correlations here which bear upon the future of this city. And maybe that's one reason, just perhaps, that my opponents have some problem looking for additional funds for the Chicago public school system. I don't say one and one is two, but it's close to it, isn't it? Throughout this campaign, one of the major concerns that I have expressed has been my concern for adequate health delivery services within the confines of this great city that we call a civilized city. It has been woefully inadequate, we all know that, and it's been a deep and long-abiding concern of mine. We've had seven or eight meetings and several press conferences, and only this morning we were berating this administration for its failure to not just maintain clinics in its outposts, but to maintain them on a high-efficiency level, and to maintain them to the point that people have confidence that they have within the city someone who cares. So we've been deeply concerned about the low level of health delivery services, particularly during the past 4 years, but actually, and in all fairness, perhaps through the history of this city. I'm deeply impressed with what I see here. This turnout is an indication of your concern, and it's also an expression of how you feel about our campaign, and I'm deeply moved by your expressions of faith and confidence. I know that you are here because you understand that it is time to have a mayor in the city that understands and will fight for health care needs of the city. One must be an advocate. One must be a campaigner, a constant campaigner. One must be a fundraiser. One must be a defender, an innovator in this entire field. Not necessarily an expert, but one who listens, and listens not with, two, but with perhaps a third ear to what's going on in the city, from those who are in the profession relative to what we can do to improve it. So I categorically say that Chicago's health system, healthcare system, is a disgrace for a modern city to be in such a position. Despite being the nation's second largest city with vast concentration of knowledge and technology right here, for example, and resources in the medical field, we face grave health problems, grave health dangers. A good indication of the condition of the health in the city is in the oft-repeated, inordinately, unforgivably high infant mortality rate, which we have cited and you have cited over and over and over again. In some communities, babies die at a rate higher than in many so-called underdeveloped countries from prematurity, low birth weight, and birth defects. It is my understanding that in the last fiscal year, 1,046 infants died in this city. That's an atrocious figure, one which is we should be ashamed, not you, but we, the people of this city, should be ashamed of. Chicago has the third highest rate of infant mortality, as I said before. And a great part of it is a reflection of the inequity of current health care and other city service deliveries. In Pullman, 41 infants per 1,000 die each year. In black neighborhoods, the average is 23 infants deaths per year, whereas in the Lakeshore area, the death rate is 6 infants per 1,000. Too high, but those figures indicate to you not only the inadequacy of the health delivery services, but the disparity, oh, just say it, the discrimination in which these services are distributed throughout this entire city. The average, these are painful figures and often costly. Infant death and birth defect rates can be prevented. Prenatal care, adequate nutritional programs, and education are central to lowering the infant mortality rate and the birth defect rate. Yet the current administration has taken the opposite tack, not in terms of curative and outreach and prevention, but just retrenching, and retrenching at the expense of health delivery services, and usually on the other end, beefing up, burgeoning up, and shoring up certain aspects of city government which don't need it. For example, the mayor's office herself, that office has gone up its budget 300-some-odd% in 3 years, and the only visible evidence of activity is that we see more PR people, more press people, scurrying in and outside that door. The Corporation Council's budget has gone up about 400% in the last 4 years, and if the quality has gone up, it's unknown to anyone here. Some evidence would perhaps be seen if it were there in the ICC rate-making fights, which we're supposed to be in. The streets and sanitation budget has gone up $100+ million in 3 years, but our streets don't get any more service, but yet and still, we find that in the health field, this is not happening at all. Under the current Byrne administration, the Chicago Department of Health has closed all of its neighborhood-based well baby clinics. Under Byrne, cuts in the women, infants, children's supplemental food programs have gone unchallenged on the national level by this administration. One of the responsibilities of a campaigner is to do two things, and you must do both or you're not really enhancing the democratic process. One must be a critic, a fair critic, a vocal critic, a demonstrable critic of what has gone before, and I have not stinted in criticism of this mayor. And one must also offer reasonable alternatives, not totally and completely blueprinted, but something reasonable that people can get a handle on. We have attempted to do both, and so we criticize this mayor, and we've criticized her frequently for not just failing to criticize the administration of Ronald Reagan when he systematically cut across the board, damaging health delivery services, but joined his forces and gave not just tacit but vocal support to that administration. There was nothing visible on the Washington.